I just want to pray for our church. Heavenly Father, we live in a time that is, there's a lot of deception in the world. Your word says that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight a spiritual battle, and that you have given us a perfect example of how to do that. And so we know you've already won, and it's just for us to follow your leading. And so I just want to pray that you would send just your warrior angels to protect our body from any infiltrations from the demonic, from any negative forces from the evil one. I just pray our protection on this place with these people, that we would see what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the God of Israel. And I just feel the need to pray against any forces of darkness that might be attacking us in any way. So I just want to pray that in a open way so that everyone can hear it, everyone can pray that, so that we can follow you in a way that your will expects of us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right, good morning. Let's try a mic check. I think I'm maybe a little bit too loud. Are we doing okay? Okay. Well, good morning. When I was a youth pastor, I had some conversations. And some of them might have sounded something like this. Is my mic okay? I feel like it's still... Okay. Well, pardon the technical difficulties. Maybe I'll try putting it down a little bit farther. Is that a little bit better? Okay. Sorry about that. I had some conversations that might have sounded like this. Like, guys, you know, we need to be thinking about being a little bit more responsible and respectful, all right? So we really shouldn't be wandering over to the neighbor's property and eating their flowers. We really could think about being a little more quiet when we're outside, because if the neighbors can hear your conversations, I guarantee you guys can hear each other just fine. Or, you know, if you're gonna experiment with fire, let's not do it next to the shed with all of the flammable, combustible stuff. And their response might be something along the lines of like, well, okay, so what you're saying is we can eat church flowers. You just said the neighbor's flowers we can't eat, but we can eat the church flowers. Or what you're saying is we can experiment with fire, just not around the shed, right? And I might be, you're missing the point, right? You are taking what I have said out of context. Remember, the context I started with was, hey, we need to work on being a little bit more responsible and respectful, right? And how many times do we get things out of context? Someone might say, like, oh, I saw the biggest trunk today I've ever seen. Okay, well, are we talking about like an elephant trunk? Are we talking about a tree trunk? Or are we talking about like a car trunk? Okay, like what kind of trunk am I talking about? We need a little bit more context. Now, if I were to say, oh, hey, I went to the zoo last weekend and saw an elephant and it was the biggest trunk I ever saw, that gives us a little more context in understanding what the trunk is. Well, many times we end up taking God's word out of context. My message is simple this morning. It's simply to get into the word. But as we get into the word, consider the context. Consider what the meaning of the author's intent is and what God is saying. It's a simple message, but so many of us take the word out of context if we're not careful. Maybe we just take one or two verses from a passage, but we only focus in on one and two verses, and we might need that the rest of the context of the passage to have it make sense. Might not even be done on purpose. Sometimes, maybe it is on purpose when we take something out of context so that we can manipulate Scripture to what we want it to say. We might think of like, take for example, Luke chapter 9, 54, where James and John are like, hey, yeah, let's hurl down insult on these Samaritans, right? Or, you know, like fire and brimstone, right? And they just want to let them have it. Okay, and we might use that as a license, like, okay, hey, James and John asked for destruction on the Samaritans, so can't I as well on my enemies? But if you consider the rest of the context, Jesus is like, no. That is not necessary. There are times, though, when we manipulate Scripture and maybe take a verse out of context to fit our needs or wants. So this morning, I would like to start us off with Psalm chapter 119. And if you read this whole chapter, it's a long one, there's a lot of love for God's word in this chapter. There's a lot of reverence and respect for God's word, his statutes and his commands. And if you read the whole chapter, you find that these authors find the word of God to be so enriching and so wonderful and priceless. But they also want to seek understanding. And I want to start in verse 33. We'll read this segment, 33 through 40. Of this particular psalmist. Starting in verse 33, he says, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. And I want to suggest this is an appropriate way to address the scriptures as you get into your devotion. We, like the psalmist, should be like-minded as we get into the word. We can invite God as we get into the word. He even just says it straight up, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Give me understanding. And I believe that is an appropriate prayer every single time we open up the word of God. Invite the Holy Spirit to interpret Scripture appropriately and receive His word, His good and perfect word. So, this morning, quite simply enough, I just want to share a few examples of common scriptures that are taken out of context or are misused. And so, I just want to share a few examples, but the main emphasis is keep Scripture in its proper context. Understand God's word and the author's intent. Try to keep Scripture in context. Like I said, it's a simple message, but a lot of people don't do it. And a lot of us are guilty of taking Scripture out of context. So let's share a few examples of Scriptures that are commonly misinterpreted. When I was younger, we watched this show or this movie, and it was about how teenagers were trying to be cool. All right, so they had their sunglasses, they wore black, they dressed the part in trying to look cool. All right, and one of them, there's a Bible sitting open, and it happens to just be on this page in 1 Samuel. And it's kind of highlighted. It's in 1 Samuel 16:7. One of them reads, let's turn there. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. He highlights the part that man looks at the outward appearance. And that's the only part that he reads. And he's like, oh, that's pretty cool. We're judged by our outward appearance. And he took the whole passage out of context. If you read the rest of the verse even, it says, but the Lord looks at a man's heart and intentions. And therein lies the context. If we read through the rest of the chapter, we learn that Samuel is trying to look for the next king. And there are seven guys ahead of David that he feels like might fit the bill because their appearance is good. And these seven brothers look good. They seem like they would fit the part of a king just based off of their physical appearance. But God says to Samuel, no, they are not meant to be the king. And finally, they end up with David, who is the youngest of them. And he's just out tending the sheep. But God says, I want him because I see his heart. I look beyond the physical appearance. Context. Now, we live in a culture today where we do judge by outward appearance. And I want to suggest that if people understood the context of 1 Samuel 16, it would be life-changing. I work at a high school, and it's sad to see even the girls, and they're trying to impress the guys. And we see it in how they try to project their physical appearance. And they're living off of only that first part of 1 Samuel 16 where it says, man looks at the outward appearance. And that's the only part of that context that they're getting. And it throws them off. Consider how pornography is everywhere. And again, that's an appearance-based thing. But oh man, if they only knew that the Lord looks at the heart, it would change everything. If they only knew about how the Lord had rejected 7 good-looking guys as king to go for the youngest one instead because of his heart, oh, it would change everything. Context. In Proverbs 31, it reads of a worthy woman because of her noble character. In verse 30 of Proverbs 31, it says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Now, me and my wife, by appearance, don't have what others would identify as what I would say glamorous. All right? We don't quite fit that Taylor Swift, a Travis Kelce bill. You know? There's a lot of pop and glamour in that relationship, it would seem. A lot of fun and, you know, whatever else. But I wouldn't say that I would classify that necessarily as our marriage. In fact, when we think about some of the vows that we took for richer or for poorer, usually we've been more on the poorer side of things. Or in sickness and in health, well, there's been a lot of sickness during our time of marriage.
But we have been married for
15 years. And just because our appearance as a marriage might not seem so glamorous to others, I would not trade it. Because why? I love her heart. I love Becca's character and her faith. And it's of greater value. Man looks at the outward appearance. Some people just stop right there. And that leaves the whole passage out of context. But if we add context, it changes everything because the Lord looks at one's thoughts and intentions. Context changes everything. Let's consider another passage that often gets misinterpreted. In fact, a lot of you will know this verse. It's Philippians 4:13, which reads, "I can do all things in him who gives me strength." Now, honestly, we kind of see this one everywhere. I've seen it, athletes have this somewhere a lot of times on their body. Maybe it's a piece of tape that's underneath their eyes to keep the glare from the sun away. Or maybe it's on a bracelet. And we see Philippians 4:13 just about everywhere. I cringe when I'm watching like a reality TV show. And, you know, they might use that verse out of context and just pray something like, "God, help me win this challenge. I know I can win this challenge. I have Christ who gives me strength." And a lot of times we think about this verse in context of like our dreams and our goals. And like, "I can do great things because I have Christ who gives me strength." That says I can do everything. And, you know, we might think that we can get promoted at our work, or we might be like, we can skyrocket our business. And whatever it is, we can take this verse out of context and be like, "I can literally do everything in Christ who gives me strength." Now, it is true that God is all powerful and can do some of those great things. But if you read the passage, it's in context of being content. Paul says, well, let's turn there. He says, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." This is in Philippians 4. It says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. This seems like a context where Paul is talking about contentment. When we're going through hard times, and we're trying to do the right thing, but man, we're struggling. And maybe you are hungry. Maybe you are depleted of resources. Maybe you do struggle financially. Maybe you are struggling with health. Well, that verse can fit in. This is where it says, I can do all things in Him who gives me strength. Whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm rich or poor, I can do all things in Him who gives me strength. Which is an encouraging thought to me when I consider that context. And even right now, you know, like if I were to think about that in regards to my own life, I've been a little bit under the weather on and off the last 3 weeks. Right now I'm gonna be working about three jobs just to try to make ends meet, trying to keep up with my education, trying to be a good father and a good husband. And when I think about how I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength, that might not necessarily mean that I win the lottery. That might not necessarily mean that I'm going to be automatically healthy right there on the spot and have a ton of energy to keep up with Silas and otherwise. What it does mean is that I can be content even in the difficult times, because I have Christ who gives me strength. And therein lies the context. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 6, it reads, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." I'm called to, even in the difficult situations, seek a life of godliness and contentment, and believe that in Christ I can go through each of those hard times because He gives me strength. Context. There's a few other scriptures that I'll just kind of brush through fairly quick for the sake of time, and then we'll close. A couple of other scriptures that often get taken out of context. One is from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where it reads, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." A lot of times that piece of scripture is used as an invitation, as an evangelical message. But if you read the context, it's a letter to the church in Laodicea. You will learn that the context is talking about a lukewarm church who needs God's discipline, who needs to repent. Context. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, here's another example. It says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them also." That's another common one that gets taken out of context. Not to say that God isn't, or that Jesus isn't with us when we do gather in twos or threes, but if you read the context, a lot of times people use that like for just about anything. whether it's Bible study or prayer or otherwise, and we like to use that verse, where two or more are gathered, there am I with them too. But in this particular passage, it's talking about if a brother has sinned against you, and you need to confront that issue and deal with that issue. And there again is the context of the passage. And the last example I'm just going to share, and there's so many different examples throughout Scripture where we commonly take it out of context. But the last one for me comes from Mark chapter 8. And sometimes context just provides clarity. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 22 through 26 out of Mark 8. Because this one kind of tripped me up there for a long time, up until even just recently. But it reads, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'I see people. They look like trees walking around.' Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, 'Don't go into that village.'" Now, by itself, I was always confused and perplexed by that passage. Okay, why couldn't the man see clearly right away? Right? I mean, isn't Jesus all-powerful and, you know, a one and done thing, right? But at first, his sight is unclear. And he says, people look like trees, and that always baffled me. Until just recently, I came across the context of both before and after that passage. Before that passage, we're reading about how the disciples are kind of having a hard time seeing or understanding Jesus' word. And then we run into that story of Jesus healing the blind man, and at first he only sees the trees. And then again, he ends up seeing perfectly after Jesus has touched him again. But then after that story, we start to read how the disciples are starting to understand and see God's message clearly. And so within that context, the way it could be understood is that our spiritual sight may be a gradual process where maybe we don't see things as clearly at first, like people look like trees. But as we dig in more and seek the Lord, he does start to bring clarity. And we gain our spiritual sight the more we seek the Lord. And so it's almost a picture of spiritual blindness and how that's a gradual process to seeing spiritually. And that story makes sense in how it fits into that context both before and after the story. Context can provide clarity. And so, as we get into the Word, we need to be aware of context. Do not miss the main point. Like my youth group kids, don't misinterpret Scripture. It's so easy to do, and that's not to say that we always will interpret Scripture appropriately, because, I mean, Scripture can be hard to interpret. I'm in the process of learning and getting better at that myself. But seek the author's intent. Consider the psalmist again from 119. "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Direct me in the path of your commands. Turn my heart towards your statutes." Remember to ask the Lord in every time you get into the Word. Ask him for understanding. Ask him for clarity. pray the Holy Spirit into your times of devotion. And listen for God's word. Let's try to understand the full context of Scripture when we get into the word. My message is that simple. I'm going to close in prayer, and we're gonna play a song. It's called "I Don't Want to Miss One Word You Speak," because every word you speak is life to me, and that's what the word should be for us. But if we take it out of context, we might not hear a good word that the Lord wants to speak to us. And so as we get into the word, let's try to understand the full context of what God is trying to say to us. And if you would like prayer this morning, feel free to come up even as the song is playing, and one of us will be happy to pray with you. You can even just find a seat up front if you want, and one of us will come and pray for you. We'll stick around a few minutes after we close, and if you want prayer this morning, we would love to pray for you. But let's pray, and then we'll close with that song. Thank you, God. Your word is so good, and it gives life. Oh, the psalmists of 119, how they love your word, because it's just so good. God, I want to love the word like they do. God, I want to hear your voice. Help us, God, as we get into the word. Give us understanding, God. Help us to know context and be able to apply the word to its fullest extent. And God, that as we do that, that our lives would transform even more and more every time we get into the word, and that we would draw closer and nearer to you every time we get into the word and understand its fullest context. Thank you, God, for the word of God. Oh, we love your word, Lord. Help us to grow in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you speak, confusion fades. Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid. 'Cause you speak, and freedom reigns. There is hope, in every single word you say.
So Lord, I grab onto that phrase, quiet my heart. I'm listening. There are so many voices out there, so many distractions, so much noise, so much clutter, so many cell phone dings, so many things that, Lord, keep us from really engaging into your, engaging your word, engaging you. And I pray that you would just stir up within our hearts a hunger to know you, to get into your word, to understand it, and to apply it to our lives, to live it out, and let the fruit of your word bear witness to the reality of our faith. And I pray, Father, that people would see Jesus in us and see your word lived out through our lives. Let our lives be like rivers of living water flowing out from us, always flowing out and flowing out, empowered by the Holy Spirit and guided by the word of God itself. Thank you for our time together here. I pray that we would just enjoy the awareness of your presence as we leave this place and as we go out into the world where you want us to be fruit and light. And so we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, let your blessing go with us. We pray in his name. Amen.